Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I'm joined today by George Goncalves, MUFG's head of U.S. macro strategy. It's Tuesday, May 31st, 2022. George, it has been a while since you've been on the show. Really glad to have you back.
Yeah, John, it's been, you know, the month of May has gone by so quickly, just like all things in 2022. It's zoomed by, but great to be back on as always.
Yeah, for sure. And there is plenty as there has been for all of 2022. There is no shortage of things to speak about. You know, and along those lines, we've covered a lot about this year's epic moves across various asset classes in both these podcast episodes as well as in your macro strategy pieces. But the main driver of most of these things is primarily linked to inflation fears, and what would correspond, with that inflation, inflation fear, what would that drive in terms of the Fed reaction function? By and large, I'd argue that that's still the dominant narrative, but I thought your recent macro to markets piece was really interesting, where you teased out the idea that there might be more than one narrative at this point. Can you elaborate on that for our listeners?
Absolutely. And just to kind of speak about the first dominant theme, which I think still is what's going to be driving policy decisions, at least in the interim. But we've been, for the better part, since the Fed pivoted to being more hawkish, to then acknowledging that inflation is not transitory, they've been really sending a message that they're going to tackle inflation, and that's really what's been the main narrative, as well as the rise in inflation itself all throughout 2022. That's been the biggest concern for markets, and that interplay between Fed reaction function, how hawkish can they get, how much tightening can they do, and then wash, rinse, and repeat on how that feeds back into the markets. But as with everything else, you can have more than one narrative running in parallel, and I think we're starting to see some of those form. As I wrote in the last piece, from inflation to recession fears, and that, by the way, is only one of potential many other potential narratives. But there is some concerns about recession risks or growth slowdown after a pretty epic growth in 2021, and then the slowdown that we actually had negative GDP in Q1, and we have had uneven economic activity, really since the pandemic and the reopening, and then of course in reaction to the war in Ukraine. So I think that the growth concerns and potential recession risks has started to run in parallel with the inflation fears, and in many ways the two kind of also can feed off each other. You can have an environment where you have high inflation and low growth, and that's the stagflation, which you can even have negative growth in real terms, but positive growth in nominal terms, where that's what happened in Q1, where we had a negative real rate, real GDP rate, but overall growth was high because inflation was high. And so I think this, we're kind of weaving in and out between, will the Fed actually be able to get their arms around inflation without creating a recession, and or will that, kind of be the end goal from this, this latest, dynamic in the economy. There's other micro narratives that are also going on, but we can discuss those later.
Yeah, thanks for that, George. So kind of to elaborate a little bit, how do you think, price action, most recent price action, if you will, in rates, spreads, and as well as risk assets are related to these competing narratives that you just described?
So, the inflation risk really led to the big rate shock that we had, where we more than doubled rates in the long end sector, the 10-year sector of the Treasury curve, and also the credit market investment grade being heavy duration after years of corporates extending out their maturity profile, it really impacted largely by the duration move, but also some spread widening. That was really the initial reaction to the inflation narrative at the beginning of the year through really April. Since then, I think one could argue, and I do, that I think we're moving from just rate risk to now understanding potential credit risks around, you know, just if there is a slower economy, the but still persistent and stubborn inflation, you know, how's that going to impact margins? How's that going to impact, you know, what is known as, you know, zombie firms? Are they going to be able to handle their debt servicing? So you move away from rate risk to credit risk, which then eventually, you know, matters, you know, also for the equity markets, which, you know, up until the most recent week and this recent bounce, you know, equities have been under a lot of pressure as well, trying to adjust to, you know, how healthy are corporates really, and can they weather, you know, aggressive tightening by the Fed and the potential risk of falling into a recession. And so I think, you know, the markets initially were, you know, reacting to duration and overall rate risk. Now we're in a credit risk and risk premium reassessment. And that, I don't think it's over. I think, you know, obviously 1 week does not make a trend. I mean, there's been a pretty decent bounce back, but even, you know, at the time of recording on Tuesday around month end, you know, we're getting very interesting price action across, you know, rates, you know, credit and equities. So I think that, you know, the jury's still out. If we, you know, we're seeing a, you know, just a tradable bounce from oversold conditions and risk assets, that's still my view. Think that we have not seen lows yet in risk assets or the wides and spreads, especially for high yield, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's I think as you say, we will see, because this is, you know, the price action, you know, where we've kind of sold off in treasuries and then we rallied back, similar to your view, but certainly happening a lot earlier. So it'd be interesting to see, you know, to fast forward 3 to 6 months from now and figure out, you know, what this exactly is. As you just mentioned, this podcast is being recorded on Tuesday, May 31st. It will be released on June 1st. So I think let's use this as an opportunity to kind of look forward here. Whereas we're about to start a new month, what's the narrative what is June's narrative going to be? And what should our clients and our listeners be on the lookout for?
I think June should be June's going to be a month of potential head fakes and do not underestimate, you know, the Fed's conviction. Although, you know, it's early in the hiking cycle, and, you know, there's already some calls for them to pause, and that's our overall baseline view over the course of the year. We don't think the Fed's at, you know, in a position yet to really shift from its, you know, its current posture. So I think this idea that the Fed's going to, you know, stop soon, or like as soon as June, or a premature stopping of the hiking cycle, I think that's going to be end up being the wrong view. And that's kind of what's been driving some of these risk market behaviors as well. So I think that, you know, June is going to be a rude awakening. I think that's really what it comes down to, for the lack of a better words. Where, if you remember, you know, in the there was a time in the glory days of QE, when the Fed would always come to the rescue whenever something bad was happening. There was a time where, you know, good news was good news and bad news was good news. Well, at this time, I think it's the other way around. Now, where good news will end up being bad news, and bad is still bad. And I think, you know, if we have, you know, either a period of either decent data, or we rebound from some of the weakness that we've seen in the economy, that's only going to, you know, give fodder for the Fed to be even more aggressive, or at least stay on track with their tightening campaign. And if it's bad news, then it's going to be just validation that we are probably, you know, slipping faster into a slowdown, and that's not going to be good for risk assets, and that also just kind of, you know, feeds on itself. So I think that, you know, we have obviously NFP coming up, you know, and then of course we'll see how CPI is. We're in the process of maybe, you know, evaluating a peak in inflation, but it doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to just go away overnight. We have the FOMC meeting in the middle of the month, I think, you know, and then we also have the blackout period and very little Fed speakers this week. So the blackout being next week. So the, you know, I think we're going to, you know, really be focused on fundamentals this week, and then into next week, really have little guidance from the Fed. And then it's a beeline shot to the FOMC meeting, where I think that they'll still probably come off a little bit hawkish, and that can take some of the wind out of the sails of risk assets and end up, you know, kind of just, you know, this iterative process back lower again. You know, I still think we're in a bear market rally period, and that would, you know, be supported for long end treasuries over the course of the summer.
Yeah, thanks for that, George. You know, it's so funny. I was having a similar conversation with a client a couple hours ago. But the Fed put, you know, that investors have enjoyed for all these years, I mean, really predicated on inflation being sort of low or lowish, been predictable. It's kind of obviously been nothing but recently. Like that's a big game changer.
100%.
Yeah. So for more, I would really encourage our listeners to check out George's most recent U.S. macro strategy piece entitled From Inflation to Recession Fears. And if you aren't receiving George's strategy reports, please feel free to get in contact with George directly. George, thanks for coming on the podcast. Great stuff as always.
Thanks for having me, John.
And thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.